welcome to the other edition.
Like poetry has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend like definition. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back the curtain and see the contribution, and you will find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, vibration. And I say to you, thank you once again for joining us for a different perspective of our diaspora. And without any further ado, our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Good evening, Walter.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Quest Mini Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. And to start off our show, I want to start off with the diamond. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. And for today's diamond, the first one of today, I want to talk about a very famous case which left a mark in history. And see, this guy, the individual that I'm about to talk about today, his name is Dred Scott. And, you know, I'll say some people probably heard of the story of Dred Scott. And I'm going to talk more onto his entire background and how he got to this point and why his story is so prominent, especially why it was so prominent back then and why is it important now. And see, Scott was born sometime around the turn of the century, often fixed at 1795 in Southampton County, Virginia. Legend has it that his name was Sam, but when his elder brother died, he adopted his name instead. His parents were slaves, but it is uncertain whether the Blow family owned them at his birth or thereafter. Peter Blow and his family relocated first to Huntsville, Alabama, and then to St. Louis, Missouri. After Peter Blow's death in the early 1930s, Scott was sold to a U.S. Army doctor, John Emerson. In 1836, Scott fell in love with a slave of another Army doctor, 19-year-old Harriet Robinson, and her ownership was transferred over to Dr. Emerson when they were wed. In the ensuing years, Dr. Emerson traveled to Illinois and the Wisconsin territories, both of which prohibited slavery. When Emerson died in 1846, Scott tried to buy his freedom for himself and his family from Emerson's widow, but she refused. Scott made history by launching a legal battle to gain his freedom. That he lived with Dr. Emerson in free territories became the basis for his case. The process began in 1846. Scott, in his initial suit in the local St. Louis District Court, but he won in a second trial, only to have that decision overturned by the Missouri State Supreme Court. With support from local abolitionists, Scott filed another suit in federal court in 1854 against John Sanford, the widow of Emerson's brother and executor of his estate. When that case was decided in favor of Sanford, Scott turned to the U.S. Supreme Court. In December of 1856, Abraham Lincoln delivered a speech foreshadowing the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, examining the constitutional implications of the Dred Scott case. The decision also declared that the Missouri Compromise, which had allowed Scott to sample freedom in Illinois and Wisconsin, was unconstitutional and that Congress did not have the authority to prohibit slavery. The Dred Scott decision sparked outrage in the northern states and glee in the south. The growing schism made civil war inevitable. Too controversial to retain the Scots as slaves after the trial, Mrs. Emerson remarried and returned Dred Scott and his family to the Blows, who granted them their freedom in May of 1857. That same month, Frederick Douglass delivered a speech discussing the Dred Scott decision on the anniversary of the American Abolition Society. Eventually, the 13th and 14th Amendments to this Constitution overrule the Supreme Court ruling. And, of course, after he got his freedom, he would go to St. Louis, where he stayed with his family and ended up passing away in 1858. But, again, that does conclude this piece on Mr. Dred Scott, and thanks biography.com for the article as well. And I just want to state why this decision and why his case especially was very important during that time. As you can see him growing up and also into slavery as well, you know, being sold to another family, ended up being wedded with another woman. That woman, which ended up moving with him, they allowed them to live together, of course. And, you know, him moving through free states and living in a free state, which I believe was Missouri at the time, he had the knowledge to know that this is a free state, and, you know, the widow of Dr. Emerson, as they say, took care of and was the, I guess you could say, the owner, the slave owner of them. And, you know, she decided that she didn't want them to let them go and that they should still be in the control and property of her. You know, but he believed he had a chance, and actually he did until the court overruled and overturned the decision of this case because it was not believed that a slave could represent themselves in trial, you know, and they ended up declining the case. And also it was unconstitutional, they believed, that the Congress did not have the authority to prohibit slavery at the time. So, you know, of course, this sparked a huge outrage in the northern states, you know, and, of course, happiness in the south. But abolitionists even teamed up with Dred Scott and was on his side and wanted this case to be well-known for future change in society, you know. Even ended up being, after the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed the slaves, and, you know, the adding of the 13th and 14th Amendment, which overruled
which overrode the Supreme Court ruling about Dred Scott. Those moments and those times where he was fighting for his case and his case going all around the country, this allowed for future change. And this is why he is very important. Today, back then, and after slavery, this case should still be taught to everybody who doesn't know about it in America. So thank you.
Okay, good job. And as always, I have a question for you. What did you actually learn from doing this particular research? What's your takeaway?
Every time I hear about this case, because I've heard about it a couple of years back in school and also online, hearing about this case, you know, it's always an interesting case of how, you know, he technically was living in a free state, so he still had the courage. That's really what caught me, that he had the courage to still know that he's in a free state and he wants the freedom for his family. So he will go in front of a Supreme Court who usually never votes in the favor of blacks during that time, of course. They're usually never in the favor. And, you know, of course, it didn't go how he wanted it, but it ended up being for the better because this got the attention of a lot of people in America. And, you know, people like Frederick Douglass, and also after the Emancipation Proclamation, the 13th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution, which overruled this ruling of them, you know, it's just something that showed a change and showed an important story that a lot of people needed to hear, and that's what I really got from it.
Was there ever any confusion about this particular case that you may have had when you first found out about it?
It was always like, you know, just really understanding the situation at hand, you know. Usually when you first read stuff like this on topics in history, it always could be a little bit confusing of why these decisions happened and why these things occurred. But, you know, as you see it a couple more times, you start to understand how people and how society in America during that time, which was ran by white people, and, you know, of course, slavery during that time, they didn't even consider full human. They were considered technically property, you know. So, you know, in their eyes, oh, this person can't, they're not even really a person. They're not a human. They're property to us. They can't go into a court and try to fight for whatever they're fighting for. So that's
what?
So
human rights.
Human rights. You know, and you know, as I started to read it more and understand it, it just started to make sense. It was really just because of the timing and the situation of it. It makes sense, even though it's a terrible thing. It makes sense of why this will happen to him because of how society was.
And because of the legal system and how society was, you being a teenager now, looking back on the history of America in the legal system that pretty much predicated this particular disparity, how does that make you feel?
You know, it makes us take it, I guess you could say, take what we have right now for granted, you know. But like, as you start to read and understand it, like I started to, it really starts to make you appreciate how much change and how lucky you are to be in the situation you are today. Because even though there's still change needs to become, it is not as bad as it was over 100 years ago. You know, we actually have a place in society, black people in America, you know, and it's just something that I believe other teenagers need to start to understand as well and not take advantage of it, because of it was kids probably our age that were 10 times as worse than what we were, being treated terribly, being not even considered a human. All of that is just those things that you just gotta appreciate that you're in the situation and that you're not in that type of situation, and appreciate the people who also fought for what you have today. That is something that that I feel like a team.
Okay. Any more comments as it pertains to this particular Dred Scott segment?
You know, it's always as many cases like this dealing with African Americans in history. So I just encourage somebody, if you ever have the free time, just to go look up one of these cases. Not just with Dred Scott, you know, there's also fast forward probably 100 years later, you also have dealing with the school systems and Brown versus Board of Education. And there's even more cases out there that are not as talked about that you should just probably research and get an understanding of.
And yes, the intellectual struggle for the disparity and basic negligence of the legal system, which said one thing, basically, you're not human. You're like the cows and the chickens, you know, on the farm, plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once again, yeah, good job. And that being said, I just want to say, you know, bringing it back to present time, just before I play this song, before you go into your next two segments, I want to talk about quickly how people are going through their own personal struggles. Myself, I just had a birthday, and the whole idea of going out to dinner and celebrating and maybe being around friends was basically a mute point. And under these circumstances, people are dealing with a lot of pressure, maybe depression from not being able to do their normal, go about their normal ways of life because of this pandemic. And so that being said, I just want everybody to hang on, stay strong, and we'll see it through. There will be a brighter day. And with that brighter day, I want to say, here's a song that says, let's cancel 2020. And we'll be right back after this song. Don't you go anywhere.
COVID gon' still be here. Top sign still up in my rear. Baby mama got the news, now she all on her knees. Cause I didn't stop when they said freeze. I must admit, I thought this year be a blast. Every night I will be raising the glass. On tour straight, making a stash. But instead, I'm watching this race to sad. Little kid raised his rifle to blast. Killed two people and the cops let them pass. It wasn't that kind of to me. That wasn't even this year. Yeah, the past year's been whack. Hunting season on everything black. Speaking of black. Lost black hand to the king. Somebody please take 20 back.
And just to say one more time, you're tuned to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. and our student host, Walter Pierce, continues with our program.
Yes, and the next person I want to talk about is somebody who's been in politics and somebody who people have a lot of different viewpoints on and a lot of disagreements with, but it's still somebody who was a pioneer in what she did and still was a person who a lot of people could look up to if they want to pursue this field. And her name is Condoleezza Rice. And Condoleezza Rice was born on November 14th, 1954, in Birmingham, Alabama, the only child of a Presbyterian minister and a teacher. Rice grew up surrounded by racism in the segregated South. She earned her bachelor's degree in political science from the University of Denver in 1974, her master's from the University of Notre Dame in 1975, and her PhD from the University of Denver's Graduate School of International Studies in 1981. That same year, she joined Stanford University as a political science professor. In 1993, Rice became the first woman and first African American to serve as a provost of Stanford University, a post she held for 6 years. During that time, she also served as the university's chief budget and academic officer. In the mid-1980s, Rice spent a period in Washington, D.C., working as an international affairs fellow attached to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In 1989, she became the director of Soviet and East European Affairs with the National Security Council and special assistant to President George H.W. Bush during the dissolution of the Soviet Union and German reunification. In 1997, she served on the Federal Advisory Committee on Gender-Integrated Training in the Military. A few years later, in 2001, Rice was appointed National Security Advisor by President George W. Bush, becoming the first African-American woman and woman to hold the post. She went on to become the first African-American woman to serve as U.S. Secretary of State. She became the nation's 66th Secretary of State in 2004, following Colin Powell's resignation, and served from 2005 to 2009. As Secretary of State, Rice dedicated her department to transformational diplomacy with the mission of building and sustaining democratic, well-governed states around the world and the Middle East in particular. So in that, she relocated American diplomats to such hardship locations as Iraq, Afghanistan, and Angola, and required them to become fluent in two foreign languages. She also created a high-level position to defragment U.S. foreign aid. And, you know, that concludes my piece that I have on Condoleezza Rice. Again, shout-out to biography.com for the article. And, you know, the reason she, as I said earlier, you know, a lot of people probably have different viewpoints about her, agree. Because even after that, she was a supporter of the 2012 Republican Party as the candidate were Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan as they were running against President Obama. You know, she was a supporter of that. But the reason I chose her and the reason I'm talking about her today is really because, you know, it doesn't matter. I believe people get too tied up, as me and Mr. Bay was saying, in politics, and, you know, it just gets too personal for them. They take it too personally. You know, some people believe just because they're on this side, the left or the right, that they shouldn't even be friends, they shouldn't talk to each other, they should just always disagree and not coexist, you know. And that is one of the biggest problems and why also America is divided with all races and everything because of that. What I believe should happen is, you know, don't even worry about which side they go on, you know. Try to have a discussion of why they chose this or why this has happened or why do you believe party, you know, why you chose that over the left or the right. Like, don't just try to, like, not coexist with each other and just just not be with each other, either as acquaintance, friends, or anything, just because of what side you go on, or what side you're you go with the most, because that's what causes division, in my opinion, and a lot of division in America. You know, they want the people, society wants you to think and wants everybody to be so separate and so segregated. What by these different things, dealing with the political parties and other things with racism ideas and all these different ideas that people could just never have a discussion but always a debate. That really what causes a lot of division. You know, but besides all that, she's somebody a lot of people who wants to pursue politics, especially as a woman, could look up to. Her story being one of the first women to hold a position as provost of Stanford University. You know, she was also a teacher of political science and ended up working in D.C., working like with presidents like George H.W. Bush, working with different countries overseas. So people who are interested in careers and things like that, interested in politics, could look up to somebody like her as a role model and just know her story about it. You know, that's somebody that she could, that people could look up to. You know, she even had her her goals dealing with all people, dealing with not just America, but all relations around the world. Having everybody to sustain a well-governed and a more peaceful world, dealing with all these different countries and all the different continents. You know, that was one of her biggest things. But besides that, that's really what I have on her. It's just, again, lastly, just don't take, not only people should take to heart and take to personal which side that you're a part of. You know, just have discussions, more discussions and less debates. And also, again, if you want somebody to look up to going into politics, look up to somebody like Condoleezza Rice. So thank you.
Okay. I think that's big. Walter, I do need to tell you that there are a lot of adults who need to take your advice. And, you know, I'm thinking out of the mouths of babes. You're not a baby. You're a teenager, right? But you're young. And that perspective is just so important to manufacture patience, to be able to listen to the other side, and to be able to agree to disagree and not take politics personal. I think that's a job well done. Would you like to go to the next segment?
Yeah, I guess I could go to my definition of today. The intro for definition, of course, is this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition of today was failure, of course, for today. And, you know, failure is something that a lot of people, I believe, is afraid of, including, it's normal, even me, even probably you, Mr. Bay, even a lot of people probably were afraid of failure. But as you've seen today, especially with Dred Scott, you know, his failure with his suing and him going to the Supreme Court about his case, dealing with slavery, even though that failed and it never went through in his favor, it still allowed for a lot of other things to go good, dealing with the speaking out of different abolitionists, which allowed for the amendments, the eventual Emancipation Proclamation, which freed slaves. You know, him actually, even though he moved back to his old slave owners, they let him go free and be with his family. You know, that was something that is a failure, but it still, at the end of the day, turned into something that was really beneficial to a lot of other people. You know, so, you know, in this last minute, I just wanted to state the message, you know, even if you have a couple failures or you fail at something a couple of times, just make sure you understand what you're doing wrong and to change that and make sure you're doing it better and right the second time so you could get better and you have a more chance of succeeding. Because if, remember, it's true. If you don't fail and you do everything supposedly right and perfect, you can't learn from anything and you really can't get better. So failing only helps everybody get better. So, yeah, that's what I got for today.
Okay. Well, you know what? You've dropped some real good bars, some lessons for the audience to really learn from. And I don't want to harp on your age, but great job. Okay. And I'm impressed.
Right.
And thank you so much. Before we go out, we have a listener on the line. I think our number one fan. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
A question or comment?
Just a comment. Great show, Walter. It is nice to see how well you're evolving. Thank you.
Well, thank you for contributing your comment. This is Quest Community Vibrations. Walter, close out the show.
Yes, and, you know, I hope everybody who was listening to the show learned something from today's show. Again, happy belated birthday to Mr. Bay and Quest Youth Radio.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
Quest Youth Radio, yes. And so that wraps it up. We definitely
happy birthday,
made
Mr. Bay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We did. Yeah, we still making waves. Yeah, vibrations. But I want to thank the audience for tuning in for another edition of Quest Youth Radio. And, of course, you did hear a different perspective of our diaspora.